Find us online at MMALockup.com or on Facebook and Twitter at MMA Lockup.
Welcome back to MMA Lockup. I'm Chris Matthews. With Ennis Barger, Jeremy Hurts, more UFC 145 action to talk about. Ennis, we stopped off with Michael Mayday McDonald and Miguel Torres. What's the next matchup?
Another nasty knockout. Brendan Schaub versus Ben Rothwell. Battle of the big guys. I mean, Schaub's not a small guy, but Rothwell, I think, had a good 25 pounds on him going, you know, at least at the weigh-in. I called this fight. I didn't necessarily say when it was going to be, but I felt like, I think Brendan Schaub's a fantastic athlete. I think he's got a lot of good traits in his fighting style. He trains probably endlessly on his cardio, his foot movement, his quickness. He was obviously quicker than Rothwell was. The problem with Brendan Schaub is you can't train chin, and that seems to be the one hole in Brendan Schaub's game, huh?
Seems to be.
See, I mean, you know, he lost the Ultimate Fighter via knockout. He got rocked by he got rocked in at least a couple of wins. Then he gets knocked out by Nogueira, and now Rothwell takes him out. You know, Rothwell's not the most polished fighter, but he's tough and gritty, and he definitely has some power in his left hand, obviously.
Falling back, guy just throws his arm up and knocks Brendan Schaub into next generation. The guy, what was he grabbing? I mean, something in his subconscious or in La La Land, whatever he's dreaming about, he was trying to pull someone closer, maybe to give him a kiss.
You talking about when he went down?
I like to think of it as the invisible waltz. He was welcoming his partner to an invisible waltz.
Well, while he was on the ground, it looked like he was communicating to something. I don't know what the heck he was doing. Obviously, he didn't either.
Maybe I could see a harp. So
I don't know. It looked like he was trying to pull his opponent down. It seemed like that, but maybe it was the guy he was fighting in his dream, because it wasn't Ben Rothwell, because he wasn't touching him.
Maybe he was doing like an interpretive dance of Leonardo da Vinci's David. Is that right? Leonardo did that. Michelangelo.
Michelangelo.
And it's not David. I'm gonna start that over. Maybe he was doing an interpretive dance of the Sistine Chapel by Michelangelo.
So who does this line up for Ben Rothwell? I mean, I'd like to see someone like, say, a Mark Hunt wins his fight. Put those two up against each other and see which one gets knocked out.
Actually, Mark Hunt and Ben Rothwell did fight, and Rothwell took him to a decision and won.
I think that they need to have a rematch.
I think they should too, yes.
I don't think that's very likely, just because, like, Rothwell beat Schaub. How big was Schaub's profile after the Nogueira loss, honestly? I think a lot of people kind of looked at that Nogueira loss and said, okay, maybe the chin's a little bit suspect, and then he gets knocked out very quickly against Rothwell. I think Hunt's kind of on a different trajectory. If he wins his next fight, I think because of all the whole rally for Hunt and everything with the Overeem, the way that they, you know, the way the fans rallied to see him fight, I kind of wonder if he's not one fight, two fight away from a title shot. And Ben Rothwell's definitely not one fight, two fights away from a title shot.
Yeah, well, Mark Hunt's won three fights in a row, I'll give you that. But how much bigger is a Chet Congo win over a Brendan Schaub win? Pretty much, to me, they're about the same. Yeah, I mean,
much. Look at what Chet Congo's done the last 2-3 years, and look what Brendan Schaub's done the last 2-3 years. I'm talking about
the last year. You look at, yeah, he did defeat Pat Barry. You know, that was a lot like Ben Rothwell when he defeated
exactly.
Brendan Schaub. I mean, they're quite similar if you look at it. Ultimately, I think there's that second tier in the heavyweight division, and I think they're both comfortably in that tier. I don't think that there's that much of a difference is what I'm saying.
I disagree for a few reasons. First of all, the profile. I think Mark Hunt just has a lot more fans because he's been in the sport a lot longer. Second of all, Mark Hunt does one thing really well. And when you can do one thing really, really well, it kind of separates you from the pack. Like, what's Rothwell's big advantage on anyone other than belly?
Experience.
Experience.
But that doesn't necessarily sell fights.
Yeah. But Mark Hunt does one thing really well. He knocks people out that stand in front of, which Chet Congo found out really, really fast. If you stand directly in front of Mark Hunt, he'll knock you out. I don't know if that's true about Ben Rothwell. Well, I don't know if Ben Rothwell has one thing that kind of separates him. I think that kind of gives Hunt a leg up when you start talking about that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, Ben Rothwell does have a victory over Mark Hunt, so he does have that.
Well, he obviously did what most other fighters should do to Mark Hunt, which is take him to the ground and grind out a decision, because you don't want to catch a shot. You don't want to catch leg kicks from Mark Hunt, let alone a shot to the head. So
absolutely, and I'm not saying Rothwell wouldn't beat Mark Hunt. I'm not even making that claim. I'm just saying if we're talking about, is that like maybe a future problem? I don't think so, because I think they're at different levels. I think as far as where they're at in the promotion working towards the title shot, I think that Mark Hunt's maybe one step, two steps in front of Ben Rothwell.
I think Rothwell will fill the much-needed gatekeeper type. You know, he's probably not going to get a title shot, but people are going to have to beat him to get to a title shot.
Agreed.
So. The next fight up was Rory McDonald versus Shea Mills. Man, doesn't it make you wish that either Rory McDonald was a bantamweight or Michael McDonald was a welterweight, because we could have Battle of the McDonalds? Because, I mean, both those guys right now, I mean, are there two really non-title holders that are hotter fighters right now in the UFC?
It's hard. Hendo? It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, in the end, I mean, he, you know, Shane Mills, for those that don't know, I mean, he's no pushover fighter, and Rory McDonald did him up ugly. I mean, it was bad. I mean, did anyone else see anything different in that fight? I didn't either. I mean, it was
supposed to narrate right there. Okay. Jeremy shakes his head
emphatically no.
Well, Shane Mills actually looked really good the very beginning of the fight. Looked like he had a little bit more pep in his step, and Rory McDonald did not look that comfortable, but that changed in a flash. Rory McDonald clearly brought the gates of hell to Shane Mills.
That kid's just so skilled. Rory McDonald, he's just skilled. I mean, that kid's just got all kind of oodles and oodles of stuff to fall back. He may not win the stare down or the walk down, but that kid's got a lot, deep, deep well to draw out of, you know?
Well, and I think it's just, part of it's just a stylistic difference. Every time I've ever watched Rory McDonald fight, he looks like he's squaring off in a karate match, but, and he looks kind of stiff. He looks just unassuming. Like, a novice walks in, and look at Shane Mills and Rory McDonald lined up against each other. 9 out of 10 of them are putting money on Shane Mills, because McDonald just doesn't impress you. But then he fights, and everything changes. And so, yeah, he looks a little stiff to begin with, but man, once he finds his holes, he's just deadly.
So where does this put Rory McDonald in the division?
Well, he's in a tough spot, because the guy holding the title is his teammate. And I think, you know, I think what you're going to see happen, I think George St. Pierre is going to come back. I think he's going to defend his title a couple more times. And I think then he's probably going to step aside and let McDonald take it. I mean, what else does he have to prove? If he wins 2-3 more title defenses, what else does he have to prove?
I don't know. It's just George St. Pierre seems like the type to me. I think for him, he wants to be able to look back one day and be like, I was the greatest ever, and there's not really any conversation to be had. He's the kind of guy I can see at 40, like 40 straight wins, and he's still like, no, I'm holding this until someone takes it. That's my opinion, not having ever met the man or talked to him. But I think it's valid. Something's got to happen. One thing or another's got to happen, because that may be the two best people in that class right now.
A quick note, though, in reference to what you're speaking of, George Rush St. Pierre, it's came out that his attitude is of that, just like he came off that defeat to Matt Serra, he feels like he's got to prove that he is the champion again. So, you know, that amount of fire, it tells me that, yeah, he could be a fight or two away from stepping aside. That's always a possibility, but that is in fact true, that he's finally getting that second, third wind, and he's wanting to go on another run, then Rory McDonald's right in his path, point blank.
Well, I mean, the reason I say what I say is because he said that Rory McDonald is the next champion of that weight class. And he's Rory's biggest fan, his biggest proponent out there, and as far as promoting Rory McDonald. So, you know, I don't know. You never know. Those guys could fight, but I think in the end, there's going to be a changing of the guard. And I think just because of the way that George St. Pierre and Rory McDonald, both those guys, I think, seem to be kind of made of the same stuff.
It's odd that it bothers me a little bit that these guys that are teammates vocally say they're not going to fight each other. To me, you look at the UFC. First off, Dana White wants them to fight. They're fight. Period. They're fighting. It doesn't matter what they say. They're going to fight. But I guess the point of, you know, showing the being reluctant to fight their teammate or former teammate or whatever, their brother, sister, whatever. You know, this is a sport, and in this sport, you know, you have the champion and you have the people that rank below, and ultimately, it's more fighters than none's goal to get to the top and get that title. Why does it change whenever it's your friend that has the title?
Because it does.
Because,
insight analysis.
Yes. The brain. Well, I think there's an honor among athletes and training partners that whether right or wrong, it's there, and it's and some of it really also is instilled in these guys' backgrounds from a perspective of martial arts. I mean, anybody who's trained in any of the martial art disciplines, there's just a code of conduct inside the gym, the dojo, whatever you want to call your place of training. And I think it's very hard for these guys to break away from what they feel like is the character and the, you know, just the camaraderie that happens. You kind of put yourself through the fire together, and I can understand that it would be tough for me to train with somebody in any discipline, any sport, for a number of years and then face them on the field of battle.
Another thing you got to kind of keep in mind, let's say with the Jackson camp, right? Let's say that nothing had ever blown up, but it just came down that Rashad would have to fight John. That's just the way it worked. Dana and Joe Silva demanded it, whatever. So now, first of all, who does the camp back? Obviously, is the first question. How do the corners get worked out? Second of all, how do you train? How do you train a fighter when you know you're training for someone that's also in your gym? Like, how do you go, hey, look, you know as well as I do, John drops his left hand. You know what I mean? Do you do that to your own fighter? There's a lot more that's wrapped up. It's not necessarily just, that's my buddy, that's my bro. But when you start talking about camps that you work together in, like, those camps are built to make everyone that's in that building the best fighter that they can possibly be. And it's about the team, and it's about cooperation and everybody working together to improve everyone. You know, the whole being more than the sum of the parts. And I don't know how you can do that if there's that thing kind of hanging in the air, like maybe the things that you're teaching your friend right now, he's going to beat you with and take your title from you a year from now. So I think that there's so much that gets wrapped in, and not everybody's like that. There's some dudes that are like, I don't care if it's my mom, I'm fighting anybody they put in the cage. But there's a lot of it wrapped in there more than just, I don't want to fight my friend, I think.
Well, I got a solution for it. You make them fight each other.
Yeah.
And the point to that is, yeah, you're early in the sport right now to where, yeah, you do have circumstances to where you have two fighters fighting out of the same camp. 10 years from now, there's going to be camps everywhere. That's going to be far and few. It's going to be something unique. John Bones Jones taking on Rashad Evans out of the same camp. It's going to be something that's, 10, 20 years from now, people are like, wow, really? They did that? And I get that, but it's not going to be because of the code of conduct. It's going to be because, wow, the sport is so much bigger now. I can't imagine fighting my opponent that's in my camp because the sport has blown up so much. Thoughts, guys?
Well, I think that's all good and well, unless Dana White and Joe Silva and the Fertitta brothers force the hand, and then something crazy happens, like St. Pierre says no, and if that's the only option, then I'm done. I mean, does that happen? I don't know. But if it does, what kind of a backlash do you think is going to happen towards the organization of the UFC if they play that trump card and all of a sudden it blows up in their face?
And another thing I'd point out, to kind of answer Chris's question, go back a second, you're talking about like what to expect in the future, maybe not necessarily specifically limited to McDonald and George St. Pierre, but bigger picture. I really feel like we're probably going to see franchising down the line, and what I mean by that is like Kevin Durant doesn't have to play against Russell Westbrook because they're both on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think there could come a time where a gym is not a collection of fighters that get together to improve each other. A gym is something that's owned by a billionaire that puts $100 million into it, and he has one horse in each weight class. You know what I mean? And each horse in each weight class has their own trainers, top-of-the-line trainers, top-line nutritionists, and everything. I think eventually that's where it's going to have to lead because of the issues we're talking about. Sooner or later, you have to fight people in your camp if you have more than one person in a weight class in a camp and the training's that good. It's going to have to happen sooner or later. So I kind of feel like 3, 4, 12 years down the road, I kind of feel like that'll eventually work itself out that way.
In the meantime, though, you get them to fight each other ultimately.
In the meantime, yeah. Joe Silva, Dana White said, you're a professional. You're there to do a job. You get a paycheck to do a job. The fans are coming there to do a job. If Joe Silva and Dana White says you have to fight, then, either you're a fighter or you're not.
John Bones Jones, Rashad Evans. And we get back from break, we're going to talk about that and much more. Make sure you check out the website, MMALockup.com. We're also Facebook and Twitter at MMALockup. Hit me. Generals gathered in
their masses. Get out of the way. The Ring Girls have their cards. And we'll be back with another round of MMA Lockup after these messages. Destruction. Get out of the way. Of death's construction.